The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Father, again, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege of singing praises to you. And thank you for this song that reminds us that our hope is in the refuge of Christ, that nothing in our hands we bring, simply to your cross we cling. And Father, we come in the name. I'm going to wrap up what I've been doing the past two Fridays. This is the third one, dealing with this booklet of B.B. Warfield, this Princeton theologian who gave an address to the incoming students at Princeton Seminary October 4th of 1911. Almost 100 years ago, he stood before a crowd similar to this and expressed his excitement but his concerns about you as theological students and your religious life, your spiritual life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's, to me, one of the most contemporary, powerful tools for you as a student to use on a regular basis. I try to, again, I can't coerce you, but encourage you to read this once a year, just to stop, take a few minutes to read that booklet. If you don't have it, I'll give you a copy of it, but it just is a good reminder. I've used it to talk about three things. I've given you three themes. The first one was, I think, Warfield's warning about a dangerous dichotomy of separating piety from learning. That you're set up to say, well, I study over here, I worship God over here. And he's saying, don't dare do that with the gospel. That's not what you're here for. The second thing was the call to this issue of a daily devotion, being mindful that every day, you and I are called in this context to really know Christ and to make him known. It's not about you and what you are accumulating. It's about what you are reflecting in what you are learning. And so this daily devotion, this daily walk with Christ has to be seen in your habits and your life during your seminary years, or chances are it's going to be very difficult to maintain when you leave. And finally, I want to talk this morning about, I'm calling it the issue of a lifelong discipline, being focused on the Lord God throughout all of our lives. And I think the significance of this work of Warfield is that he really does hit our context. He hits us where we are, and he really confronts the issues of the gospel, I think, for you and me, particularly for you students who are here. And I think this is something that we need to be reminded of on a regular basis. I have, as many of you know, I'm starting my 12th year here as the Dean of Students. I scratch my head. I can't believe that. If you were to tell me 15, 20 years ago, you'll be the Dean of Students at Westminster and you'll be there for I don't know how many years, I would have kind of smiled at you and said, I don't think so. So the fact that I'm here, that's a whole other story. But every year, my burden has, if not been the same, intensified about you as students growing the way God has called you to. My concerns are twofold. It's kind of a two-sided coin. Your character, issues of the gospel in your life, and the content of the gospel. The church of Christ desperately needs leaders who evidence the character of Christ as well as a deep and growing knowledge of the content of the gospel. You look at the church today, my heart aches almost daily when I hear of stories about leaders in the church of Christ who know so much but are woefully shallow in their character, and it comes up short, and it ends up bringing shame to Christ. As a minister of the gospel, that aches my soul. You are future leaders of the church, and I'm trying to be a Warfield in your life, warning you, be careful. Be careful that you are as obsessed about the character issues of the gospel as you are about the knowledge of the gospel. I think maybe this is a hyperbole or one of my idealistic views, but I tell our faculty and anybody I can, I think Westminster is perhaps the best place in the world, I would argue, for solid, reformed, historical, theological training. I mean, there's, If you look at the history of this small little place, and in our 76, 78 years of existence, how worldwide the effect of this institution has been on the gospel and on the orthodoxy and defending that. Very powerful. I believe that if that's true, that we better be graduating the most knowledgeable, critical, biblical thinkers that the world has ever known. If God has blessed this place with a rich history and heritage of men and women who know how to think and understand biblically, we better be graduating people who can confront the world biblically and critically and with great scholarship. But my hyperbole is this. We also equally better be graduating the most pious, humble, fragrant people of the gospel that the world has ever known. People should look at those graduates at Westminster and say, they walk with Jesus. They know the living God. Their knowledge is permeating their souls and their lives. And it's a very powerful thing to be in their presence because they walk humbly before God. Tragically, that doesn't happen as much as it should. Because my argument is, if you are growing in the knowledge of the gospel and you really understand the cross of Christ and the culminating work of your Savior, the more you understand that, students of the Word, I believe both literally and figuratively, you're going to be on your knees saying, God, who do I think I am? That you would have that kind of mercy on me, that you would do that for me. And that would permeate how we walk among one another. I think Warfield is very concerned that you and I understand the seriousness of this issue. Let me again quote him so it's not all coming from me. Listen to what he says to students who started their career in 1911. You must find daily nourishment for your religious life in your theological studies. You must enter fully into the organic religious life of the community of which you form a part. Little footnote, that means chapel. But to do all this, you must keep the fires of religious life burning brightly in your heart. In the inmost core of your being, you must be men and women of God. Keep always before your mind the greatness of your calling. That is to say, these two things, the immensity of the task before you and the infinitude of the resources at your disposal. If we face the tremendous difficulty of the work before us, it will certainly throw us back upon our knees. We very greatly need to recall ourselves to the seriousness of life and its issues, and to be serious of our calling as ministers to life. It's interesting, he says, don't ever forget these two things. The task that is before us. Do you realize what you are embarking on? You are feeling called to represent and proclaim the Word of God. Who's worthy for that? But he's also saying, remember the resources you have are infinite. God has blessed you with that. I think he's emphasizing to you and me, especially to you students, the need for a lifelong discipline, a lifelong influence of the gospel in your life and the gospel to others. So, you leaders of the church of tomorrow, how goes your heart today? Where are you with the Lord God today? Are you mindful of his call? As I mentioned to you, I still remember as a student back in the 80s, hearing Professor Al Groves in a chapel. And it's those things that many times professors say outside of class that kind of strike you and make impressions sometimes as well. But he said, this is the most frightening verse in the Bible for me as a professor, and it was James 3, verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. I'll never forget Professor Al Groves, one of the most rich professors that I sat under and was impressed by his learning and his understanding, saying to us, I'm scared every time I read that in the Bible, because I'm speaking words to you that will influence you for the rest of your life. God is going to hold me accountable for that. Do you feel that weight, future leaders of the church? Warfield says you better feel that. It's a very serious thing to proclaim the word of God, declare who Jesus is, and then to reflect him. Jesus' lifelong call, I'm not big on programs, especially when it comes to discipleship, but here's the closest you'll get. Luke 9, when he says, if anyone would come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? I don't think there's a better context for you and I to learn the gospel than here at Westminster. But I think Jesus is saying very simply, for a lifelong discipline, it's simply this: never stop looking. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, follow me. That means you've got to look at him every day. Never stop looking to Jesus. Focus on him. Seek him with all your being for all of your life. But it also means never stop learning. Be careful you don't, you don't strive to gain the whole world at the sacrifice of your own soul. Lose your life daily for Christ's sake. And let him who boasts boast about this, that he knows and understands me. I want to read to you another section of Warfield that I think helps solidify this. Listen to what he says about your call to ministry and your career in ministry. Listen to this. There is no mistake more terrible than to suppose that activity in Christian work can take the place of depth of Christian affections. This is the reason why many good men are shaking their heads a little today over the tendency which they fancy they see increasing among our younger Christian workers to restless activity at the apparent expense of depth of spiritual culture. Activity, of course, is good. Surely, in the cause of the Lord, we should run and not be weary, but not when it is substituted for inner religious strength. Work and pray is no longer, it seems, to be the motto of at least ministerial life. It is to be all work and no praying. Is that pretty relevant or what? Then he says this, do you pray, student? How much do you pray? How much do you love to pray? What place in your life does the still hour alone with God take? I am sure that if you get a true glimpse of what the ministry of the cross is, for which you are preparing, and for what you as men and women are preparing for this ministry, you will pray, Lord, who is sufficient for these things? Your heart will cry and your whole soul will be wrung with this petition. Lord, make me sufficient for these things. I think he's warning you today. Don't let your calling turn into a career. What does it matter if you're successful and you've got the greatest accolades of men, but you really aren't following and learning from Christ? I remember when I was in youth work, and I'll conclude with this, that a friend of mine, I was doing youth ministry and trying to give myself wholly to that task and having a great time doing it, but increasingly feeling discouraged because I wasn't as successful as my counterparts or the other guys. And I used to go to training programs, and they would hold up the profile of what a good youth minister was like. He would have like 100 kids in his club. He'd have 6 kids coming to Christ every week. He would have 5 small groups, and I'm burning myself out trying to be successful. I had 40 or 50 kids in my club, and a few kids would come to Christ during the year. I loved it, but I felt like a failure. So I remember going to one of my senior directors and saying, you know, I think God's calling me out of this. I'm just not able to do it. And I'm just going to look for some other kind of job. And he sat me down, and we were on a first name basis, but when he got a little frustrated with me, he called me McFarland. He said, McFarland, sit down. I've watched you minister. I've watched you love these kids. God has called you to this stuff. You're good at it. But let me remind you of something that I learned the hard way. God has called you not to be successful. He's called you to be faithful. You be faithful to him and let him worry about the success. That was one of those pithy little comments that really cut me to the quick and really changed my life in a lot of ways. And I would say the same thing to you, brothers and sisters. Why are you at Westminster? What do you want to do with your life? Are you hungry for success? That's fine in one sense, but you better be as hungry for faithfulness. Let your life be a life of a discipline that follows after Christ and seeks him first above all things. May God do that for you even today. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you are faithful when we are faithless. We thank you that you have called us. You have called us daily to look to your Son, to learn of him. Father, help these students even now to be men and women who hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ, that they would grow in that grace and knowledge that would move them to be true biblical scholars who walk humbly before their God and before one another. Do that work even today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.